Verge.
Are important because they are meaningful, and they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
What's up, guys? My name's Emily Ober. I am 23 years old. I'm currently a graduate assistant at the University of Louisiana Monroe, where I help out with the women's soccer program, and I'm getting my master's in exercise science. So the other day, I was asked to help out with this podcast and kind of share my story. And I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity to hopefully uplift some of you guys and inspire those who are going through a tough time. So my walk with Jesus wasn't always where it is now. I started off as a young kid, going to church every once in a while, but never really had that burning passion to want to know God. I was 5 years old when I started playing soccer, which is my life, my passion, my love, honestly, the reason that I'm who I am today. I always imagined myself playing professionally one day when I grew up, and I worked so hard to try to get there. Many years go by, and I receive a scholarship for a college up in northern Georgia. Now, I'm originally from Winter Haven, Florida, a small town about 40 minutes outside of Orlando. And for me to go off and not know anybody and go to this school in the mountains was kind of a scary step. But I knew I wanted to do it. I knew this is the first step into me reaching my goals, reaching my dreams. So I went off to Georgia. Had an amazing experience. I started out as a freshman and started almost every single game. Moved on to sophomore year, I was granted captain of the team and led my girls and my teammates for the next 3 years until I graduated. When I graduated, I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to play soccer, but the question that always haunted me was, so what next? What are you going to do after you graduate? And for me, this was kind of scary because you're supposed to go out, make something of yourself, get a career, and I didn't really have anything lined up. So I decided that I was going to move to Atlanta to play semi-professional soccer to try and fulfill my dream. So I packed all my bags, drove to the city, and I lived in a small apartment for about 3 months over the summer. Now, here is where I think I really started my relationship with God. I was in a huge city full of people, yet I didn't know anybody. I felt lonely, I felt lost, and I knew that I could turn to God in this moment. And this is where His light truly shined down on me, because He gave me life, He gave me hope. And I went out, got myself a job, had a great summer, met some awesome people, and really, if it wasn't for me turning to God, I don't know if I would be here today, and I'm sorry, that's just the reality of it. I was so lost in depression, in my sadness, thinking, wow, I'm in this huge city, and no one around me is my friend. There's no one I can talk to, and it really put a toll on my life. But with that, I was granted an awesome opportunity by a soccer agent to play professionally overseas in Europe. Now, at first, when I received this, I thought, wow, this is an awesome opportunity. I can't pass this up. But there were some strings attached. I would have to drop everything I was doing. I would have to leave to go across the world, which I've never been outside of the United States, and I was going to basically start all over again. The setback was I didn't have any money saved up, and they weren't going to pay for my living costs, for travel, and this really is what made me have such a hard time, because one, my dream was right there in the palm of my hands, yet there was something just holding me back. Not just money, but just, it didn't feel right. And I prayed and I prayed and I said, God, what should I do? Do I just drop everything and fulfill my dream, or do I stay here and pray for another opportunity? And what do you know? God answered my prayers. About a week later, my old coach from the school that I played with called me and said, Emily, I have an awesome opportunity, but you kind of have to make a decision ASAP because the school needs to know. I said, okay, what's up? He said, I have a graduate assistant position in a Division I school in Louisiana that is looking for someone like you to fill their spot. I was kind of taken back because I never thought about going to school, getting my master's, yet being able to coach. I never really put that in my thought process of something that I would be interested in doing. So after praying about it, talking to my family, friends, I felt like this is right. This feels like the fit for me. And let me tell you, I took that opportunity. I drove 12 hours from Florida to Louisiana, moved in, and I would not trade it for the world. I completely trusted God and said, you know what? I think going and coaching young women like myself in the sport that I love might be my calling. And here I am today, about a year later, and I love it. I am inspired each day. I get to do what I love, which is soccer, but I also get to mentor these women through the sport that I found when I was a 5-year-old girl as being the best thing that's ever happened to me. So really, it's been an awesome journey, and I just wanted to remind some of you guys going through crossroads, not knowing what to decide, just pray about it. God's already got a plan for you, and just trust in what he does, because I promise you, he has your back unlike no one else. And there isn't anything that I would do to take back my decision. I trusted God wholeheartedly, and I know no matter what I have to face in the future, that he will have my back, and I can turn to him at any point in time. And I just wanted to share that with you, because it does get lonely, and you do feel lost, but there is God looking down on you no matter what you're going through, saying, child, it's gonna be okay. Like, just relax, worry less, pray more. Start where you are. God will take you where you need to be. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Emily Ober. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Hey, what's up, Scriptures and Stories podcast? We're in for an incredible treat. Come on now. There's a guy you may have met, you may have not met, but you need to meet him. He's going to be with us today. His name is
Zach Love.
Zach Love. What's up, family? How are you, bro?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
So good, man. Especially I've been around you. You're like the only person on the planet that I've ever met that had more joy than me.
Oh!
I'm just playing.
Hey!
So if you need joy for your journey, come meet with young Zach. Like that. Yeah.
Joy for the journey. Can't stop me now. I got the flowing spirit. You see me, you're like, wow.
Wow. That's what's up.
Hey,
you getting it, bro. You getting it.
We're in Estes Park, Colorado right now. We're incredible. Looking out the windows. I mean, what do you see?
I see beautiful mountains, amazing terrain, flowers, butterflies, and bees. Matter of fact, there was just a little bee flying around us. But no, Zach actually just got stung by a bee.
I got stung. I was sitting here. We're about to turn this thing on. This bee comes up. I don't know if it stung or bit me. I'm just thanking God I'm not allergic to bees. But,
Yeah. Praise God, bro. He would have got my big chocolate self if I wasn't running. I'm just kidding.
Hey, what's crazy is bees sting, but they also give you honey, you know? I don't know if the bees that bring you honey sting, but it is cool to know that the same thing that we're talking about buzzing around brings us something real sweet, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes they're fierce, but sometimes they're sweet. That's how you are.
A happy medium. Exactly.
I'm just kidding. You're not that way.
You funny, Zach.
What's up, though?
Appreciate you, bro, for coming on. And I've been spending some time with you this week and super excited to, even learn and hear more about your story.
Right.
So, guys, if you don't know Zach yet, Zach Love, which we'll talk about his social media platforms and different things that he has going on now, right outside of Indianapolis, he has this incredible art. Is it museum?
I'm working toward a museum, brother, but like I was in the fashion industry. Do you want me to kind of go into
your story?
I mean, man, I was, at a young age, I was misunderstood because I had ADHD and dyslexia.
Got it.
So my parents actually wanted to have my hearing tested many times at a young age because they would tell me a lot of things and I would kind of do the opposite of what they said. Wow. Not because I didn't want to listen, but because my curiosity was at the center of my being. You know, I had to – if they say, hey, don't touch that plant, I'm like, man, but the plant's green. It's got this yellow. There's little like red like – stuff on it, like I gotta touch it, you know. It was like I didn't want to listen, it's just like it's drawing me in, you know. And that curiosity over the years continued to manifest. I was a creative individual. I've always seen creativity. I've always exuded my life through creativity. It's captivated me. The artist of this day and age, the artists I looked up to, Andy Warhol, Basquiat, Keith Haring, look up Van Gogh, look up all these different artists, right? And when you study them, when you look at their life, you understand that a lot of their influence came from something that wasn't God, it wasn't the spirit, right?
It's good, bro.
And so, you know, everybody needs somebody to look up to, right? I mean, they're listening to this podcast maybe because they're going through something. They don't have somebody even speak into their life.
Yeah,
I'm honored to even be a voice, even be an echo, really. Mm. We should all be an echo, right?
Come on, bro. That's good, Zach. So true.
So, but of what, right? For me, of love. That's why the last name Love. But I'm just saying of him, of God, right?
Amen.
So, but I'm doing this and I'm looking up to my influence. I'm looking up to who is it that's shifting culture, that's creating language in the arts, that has the most powerful name and brand that people look up to. And when I look to these artists, when I look at their lives and what they were immersed in and what their culture is, it's something that is, it's a paradigm that is so far outside of what the gospel specifically tells you to be living for, right?
Well, say it,
and so, well, I mean, so my curiosity, you know, it was always a, I want to experience all things and understand all things, and I want that to play into my creation because I want to captivate people with the art that I'm creating.
Yeah.
And so drugs were a big part of my immersive experience and understanding what it was that some of the greats were talking about and what it was that, you know, Van Gogh, if you didn't know, he used to actually eat paint. Because the stuff in it would kind of would mess with him. And he was a crazy guy. He ended up cutting off his ear and committing suicide. Yeah, man.
But he was an insane artist.
Van Gogh. One of the best, man.
Wow.
And then you look at like Basquiat. I don't know if you know about Basquiat.
Basquiat. I love his name, though.
Italian? All right. I'm not sure if he's Italian. I mean, he was definitely black, but I don't know if he was biracial or what. I shouldn't know that, but anyway, he had cool hair.
Yeah.
But Basquiat just sold a paint. He just sold a painting. Well, I shouldn't say he did because he's passed away. But his painting just sold for I think $110 million.
Whoa.
And
that's insane how much value is in a painting. But
art.
Keep going. You'll talk about that.
I can for sure. I can talk about any of that. But these artists, I mean, but Basquiat, he even died. He died of an overdose. I mean, yeah. He had some things going on with his relationship with Andy Warhol, and you can learn a lot about that kind of stuff. But anyway, a lot of these artists that I looked up to, right? Yeah. A lot of these artists that created a language for their time, a language being art that is so unique and so of their own style of the day and age, okay. That no matter who sees it, they know the handprint that's behind it, right?
Beautiful.
That's what we're supposed to be as Christians, obviously.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Come on, bro.
I'm just saying, man, like when you look at artistry and when you look at value, these artists were the ones who showed the precedent of what value is across culture, across our nation. And for those who are artists, they really study these artists and they study them well. And so I studied these artists and, you know, I looked up to them and I looked at them as pioneers in regard to what they were creating, what they were. And so as I studied their life and as I studied their influence, I wanted to be powerful too, man. But yeah. Within the Christian paradigm, there weren't Christian artists that marked change or reformations of arts. Or there weren't these people who were pioneering things. And the Christian paradigm, right?
And
that I was in knowledge of, right?
Wow.
And so when I looked at those guys, when I looked at my creativity, and I was in the church, but it was a church that, you know, if I wore a tie inside my shirt, because like I was a weirdo, you know, I wanted not weird. I mean, we're all weird, man.
Yeah, we all weird in our own unique ways.
but I always wanted to rock my style in my own way. Right, I'm wearing two different socks.
Yeah,
right
yes,
now.
Bro. Your creativity on another level.
I'm
just
wearing
like
two
looking
different
at
socks. You know,
you're free, bro.
I am free. That's
you're
for
free.
Sure. But I'm, you know, so I'm always trying to tap into being not who others call me to be, but who He calls me to be. And you know, I'm not trying to go off on a tangent, but what I can say, it's really fun because I was talking to someone earlier about this. How a guy, somebody was like, "Man, everybody here likes you."
Yeah,
that's what they said. Because we're at this retreat, Park, and there's a lot of us
it's very
here,
hard not
all
to.
Influencers doing big things, and they're like, man, everybody here likes you, and I said, you know what, I really don't care.
Come on, preach,
you know,
preach it, man.
And I go because I said if I did care, then that means I would care if they didn't like me, and that would mean that my identity is built upon the opinions of others, right? So it's only built upon Him, and I know that He's only permitting me to be a greater expression of myself now, right?
Yes.
And that's why I wear different colored socks right now.
Exactly.
Right? But back then, when I was immersed in studying the arts and looking for who were the pioneers in artistry of the time to this current moment, I realized that the influence and the impact that played into their art, I wanted to tap into that. And I wanted to understand what it was that they were tapping into, because it was something different.
Something different.
You know? And so doing drugs, you know, I did a lot of LSD, you know, I was dropping some acid. I did some ketamine, some opium, you know, with weed and stuff. And, you know, don't know how much in the podcast you go into this stuff. So
hey,
I want to be
great.
Careful.
Be
with,
open,
like,
man.
I don't want to
open.
Educate people and get them into too much stuff.
No.
Because I don't want them to get into that stuff, man, because it, you know.
No, we just going to pray over it after. No, you got it. Cool. You got it, bro.
No, but so I was doing a lot of these things. Especially at music festivals, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're doing those things at music festivals, you feel a sense of unity. You really do. I mean, when you're on drugs, you feel unity.
Yeah.
Facts, you know? Because you're all in the same vibe.
All in the same vibe.
Right? And so I understood that without having the Spirit, like without having the Holy Spirit, like in the center of my life, I was experiencing this unification that I wasn't seeing in the church, right? Because they were wanting me to not be the expression that God was giving me permission to be.
Wow. Come
right?
on, bro.
And so I'm not hating on the church. I'm just saying that it was like, you know, you go when I walk into church wearing what I walk into wearing to a festival or what I'm wearing right now, oftentimes in a conservative town, you know, it's kind of like he's trying to draw attention to himself. No, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be an extension of the creative kingdom that I'm operating from.
Come
right?
on, brother.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
And so as I'm that and as I'm being this and as I'm relating to who He's calling me to be, you're experiencing like who I'm called to be and I'm being that and I'm realizing like at the time that I was doing the drugs and going to the concert music festivals, I'm seeing unity there that I'm not seeing inside the church.
Wow.
And it allowed me to see post, you know, like now after I have the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of people who don't see a need for the Holy Spirit because they're judging it based on experiences that they're having with the judgment of the church, right? With the judgment of the Pharisees, you know, like back in the day, you know, Jesus didn't, you know, he wasn't telling the people who didn't know him that they were condemned. You know, he was calling out the Pharisees, the people who said that they knew him the best. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to call anybody because I got a plank in my eye if I'm talking to anybody.
I'm not
talking to anybody.
I hear you, bro.
I'm just sharing my story in my heart.
Come on.
Because it relates to who I am.
Yeah,
it relates
certainly.
To this moment in time of us being together. And I think that some other kids may struggle with this too. And they're holding grudges against having faith because God's calling them to be an expression that is not room for that expression. Like it's not being embraced.
Gotcha.
And the way that that the festivals, that these other places will, you know, will receive it, right?
Bro, can I say something really quick?
Yeah, no,
I love how you're like talking into this, speaking into this, because I even felt something similar to that because I used to wear baggy pants back in the day when I was going to Baptist. JNCOs, Pacos, you
okay,
name it.
I
was
going into Woody JNCOs.
Yeah,
JNCOs,
like, little Baptist church where my mom went to.
Right.
And what blew my mind is I would get all these stares and different things like that. However, you know, I wasn't in the Lord. But here's one thing that I did catch up on as I was reading Scripture. Scripture talks about us being clothed in one thing. Be clothed in kindness.
Right.
Be clothed in kindness. You know, that's a you know, byproduct of love. Like,
right.
And I love how you're sharing this, bro.
Right,
so
right.
Keep tapping into it.
Oh, dude, I'm going to go into it.
Yeah.
I can go out on this.
Yeah.
But, so what I want to kind of mention is, as I'm noticing the heart that I have and the expression that I'm called to be, and not quite understanding, you know, I had a pastor at a time, man, and he was sleeping with people who were coming up, like getting help at the church, bro. Like, and that didn't just happen one time. That happened with multiple pastors that I was trying to understand who God is, you know, from these men.
That is crazy.
Right? And so I kind of held that a little bit against it, and I'm like tapping into my creativity, and I'm like, you know, I didn't have the Holy Spirit fully, you know, it says he comes in full, but I think that like you can have the Holy Spirit conviction, I'd say, but when you're young and when you're immature and when you're trying to figure things out, you know, you just don't know how to understand the ways of the Spirit.
Wow.
And so you're looking at like, hey, what makes sense, right?
Yes.
And if it makes more sense for you to be at a festival where you can be expressive and feel unified through enhanced whatever feelings or emotions, you know, drugs or whatever. Like it feels like it's something that's more of a heaven on earth than anywhere else that you've really ever been.
Yes, yes, bro.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
So I loved the experience of being high. I loved doing drugs. I really did. What happened, here's a crazy thing, is the more and more you're involved in that life though, right?
Yeah.
And you start to understand that there's a separation there between spiritual freedom, right? And what the world associates as freedom.
Yeah.
And so when the world associates things as freedom, you don't realize the bondage that you're actually getting in until you start to feel the oppression or the exhaustion or the you know, the lack of confidence, you know.
Yes.
And there's just like things that happen, man. Like if you take too much ecstasy the next day, you're just tired as can be.
Wow.
You know, like if you take too much acid, you're probably gonna be in the hospital. You know, you could be in a coma. And so I'm like, I'm looking more and more into these things, and I'm trying to understand why it is that the things I feel like are bringing unity are also putting so much pain and putting so much hurt on people. And you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
But I'm also like, understand there's more of the spiritual realm. There's more of this Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's more. And people are telling me that like, you know, I'm reading the verses of God's the creator, you know, he created all things in his image. Like he spoke the world into existence, like all these things.
Yeah.
And so I'm wrestling like with all this. I'm trying to make sense of it all, you know, basically like, what through a sense of to keep the long story short, because there's so much that plays into
details.
You know, I've been writing a memoir of my story, right? Because there was a relationship that played into this. There was multiple times of me almost dying, me getting robbed at gunpoint.
Wow.
Me getting
remember
in the
you
back
sharing
of a,
about that?
Yeah, me in the back of a truck that got struck by lightning. Whole side got burnt down. me wanting to commit suicide, me having Lyme's disease, almost dying. I mean, there's multiple things that have shaped my understanding of where I'm at today. Focusing specifically this conversation on creative expression, and the fact of each one of our hearts is created with a longing for a God longing, right?
Come on.
And it's a play, and that's really kind of where I want to evolve this into, is that from me living in both worlds for a time, you know, and me like wanting to receive the Spirit, but not fully giving myself to it because I was wanting to also understand the impact and the culture of the creativity that could come through the drugs and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to come to a point where you realize that you can't be in both worlds to experience the fullness of the one world, of the creative, of the creativity, the kingdom of God has to offer. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I see where you're coming from. So basically you're tapping into, for instance, you were explaining a time you were in a car driving.
Right.
And, you know, guys were in the car with you. They would be high.
Right, right.
And, you know, you were trying to tell them, hey, it's nowhere near the high that I'm experiencing with the Holy Spirit. There's only one true expression of experiencing the fullness of the deity of God, of who he is.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, kind of. But, like, and that's a great thing. And that did happen. You know, that has happened. That does happen, you know. Like, you know, people be lit up and they'll be like, dude, I'm super high. I'm like, bro, I'm probably higher than you are right now.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Not like hating, you know, it's like, it's all in low. I'm probably higher than you, bro.
Just having fun. Yeah.
Just goofing with it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But
bro,
for me, it's like when you look at all these longings of the next generation, right? Doing drugs, being out there at these festivals, being a creative expression, like the unity is something that God put in our heart. It's a longing that God put in our hearts intentionally.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you can get creativity. You can, you know, you can trip out and have crazy encounters and all that stuff, right? But what people don't realize is that in the Spirit, he can give you encounters that take you into different dimensions.
Wow.
Right? Like there's plays in the Bible where there, you know, where people would be in a trance. You know what I'm saying? There's plays in the Bible where, you know, you talk about even seeing the burning bush. You talk about Moses, how he went up into the mountain, he saw the Shekinah glory of God, and they came down, they saw a manifestation of that presence on his face. You get what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
there's supernatural experiences.
Right. And you can have those, like, in the midst of coming out too, of doing drugs. You can have those on drugs. I mean, if you call out to God. And so I think that my big thing that I realized is when you call out to God, the love and the manifest presence that his creativity will begin to exude through you as you call out to him, as you call out to Jesus, as you call out to God, it's gonna manifest in a way that you realize that what you were longing for was a God longing, but just in a different realm. And in a realm that doesn't make sense. You know, you think it does because you feel good and it feels amazing and you know it, but it doesn't make sense when you realize, like, if I took too much LSD or too much ecstasy or too much coke or whatever, it would amount in all these things occurring that will be negative for my body.
You
get what I mean? From my temple, from my being. It could take me out. I could die. I could overdose. I could whatever, right?
So many implications.
But on the Spirit, what I realized is that you can dose up on the Spirit, right? You can go in to the presence of God. You can. Like, it's accessible right now.
Into his presence.
If you're listening to this and you cry and, you know, maybe pull over or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, come on now.
But if you pull over and you're just like, God, I want your manifest presence. I want your Holy Spirit inside of me, and I want to have a supernatural encounter that allows me to enter into a realm that things begin to make sense as I feel the impressions of your love penetrate my heart and start to expand my mind into realms that can be present right now through your Spirit, God.
Wow.
And when you just say that type of thing,
it's good.
You know what I mean?
It's
when
good,
you just
bro.
Say that and then you press into it and you keep saying, you know, like, you know what? Like, I don't even know. For me, this is how I had to get there. I had to be like, you know what, God? Like, I don't know how to understand the operation of your spirit, but I know that it's here and I know that it's real and I know that it's good. And so anything that's not good, I rebuke it. And Lord, take me into a place that's so good that I feel so affirmed in you, that I'm confident in you. And in that confidence, Lord, let the expression of you continue to become more and more and more and more. And Lord, whatever that more looks like, I want to be a part of it. Take me there. Take me there. And so, like, I'm just saying.
So good.
So I'm just saying these things.
Reaffirming yourself.
I'm saying these things. And I'm just speaking the truth of his word. And you know what I mean? And like, we're just becoming like best friends. And what I realized is the more and more I would get into to that place with him, the more and more the creativity would come over me. One. Two. The more and more vision would come over me. Three, the more and more clarity would come over me. Four, I wouldn't feel bad in the morning, right?
Wow.
Five, I'm starting to love other people more. Six, life is starting to make sense.
Wow.
Seven, confusion is falling away. You know what I mean? Like, eight, I got a date. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
I'm just saying, like, if you really, really, really press into the fact of culture saying that unification comes through these things that are not of God.
Yeah.
You may have a great time. I had a great time. Yeah, I really did.
I had a great time. I remember being at my mess. I enjoyed it.
I had a great time.
Bro. I enjoyed it.
A great time. But now, look at me and you, bro. We smiling.
But joy. The joy of the Lord.
You know what I mean? And now I can go out into creation. And so I can go out on these mountains
and reference
and
it back.
And I can be like,
come on,
oh my Lord. the same thing that made this is inside of me.
Wow.
Like you bet, like grow in me. And so I'm looking at trees and that's growing to where if I did drugs and drugs were my God, I'd be like, man, I wonder what this would look like on LSD. I'm dependent on something that's gonna leave me.
Wow.
So what powers it if it leaves?
Come on, somebody needs this.
What powers it if it leaves?
Somebody needs to
share this. When the presence of God stays.
Come on now.
It stays.
That's it. That's it.
And it won't leave you.
It won't leave you.
And all you got to ask for it is one time.
Come on, one time. Cry out to the Lord.
You know what I mean? One time.
Cry out to the Lord.
And guess what? The biggest lie that the enemy wants you to believe is that when you called out for when you cried the Holy Spirit and it comes, the enemy wants you to believe that you don't have it.
Wow.
And he wants you to keep telling you that you got to revisit the places that you've been. The enemy wants to keep telling you, like, you know what? Like, that person's got a problem with you. You know what? You're too prideful. Or you know what? You're not good enough. Or you know what? You don't know the Bible well enough.
Wow.
You know what, man? I can't memorize. Like, I don't want to speak this into faith. I have a hard time memorizing scripture and speaking scripture. Like,
over your
because
life
dyslexia,
day.
All that, dude, it's just, it's all twisting. Numbers are twisting.
Got you.
Like, I can, but the Holy Spirit's in me, right?
Yes.
You know what
Come
I'm
on, brother.
And so, like, people sometimes, with my generation, I believe we're getting held back because a lot of people got dyslexia. Maybe not dyslexia like I got, but they got some way that the enemy's telling them that they can't be powerful for God because they're ill-equipped, right? But it's not a matter of knowledge. Knowledge puffs you up. The Spirit
love
is what gives life and freedom.
Come on, brother.
Right?
Come on, love.
It's not a matter of.
That's a
but
word.
Like,
That's
it's
a word.
Not a matter of what you know.
It's
a matter
you know.
Of who you know. It's a matter of what you glow. It's a matter of what you flow.
Woo.
It's a matter of what you show. Right? Like,
Come on.
I'm telling you, though, man.
Wow.
And the thing is, though.
Not declaration.
Whoa, I didn't even mean to keep going with the
demonstration.
Though.
Come on.
But the thing is,
though. That
the
was
thing
good.
Is, though.
Zach.
Seriously, the thing is that when you truly love somebody, you ain't going to cheat on them.
Yes.
So I can be speaking this all day long, right? If I tell my wife all day I love her, which I'm not married yet, but I mean, I got a girlfriend. She's dope.
There you go.
But
y'all better go to his Instagram.
Hey. No, I got a girlfriend though. So when you say that you love your girl, right? If you're like, I love you, babe. I love you, babe. I love you, babe. Or it's your
day.
Man. I love you, man. Love you. You know, whatever. You get it. If you keep saying you love somebody, but then you're out there cheating on them.
Wow.
You're out there sleeping with somebody else. Do you get what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Well, like, people think they're empowered by the amount of, by what they believe is power. But they believe power is control. Control being them. I want that. I got that. That's what's giving me power. Like with girls, you know. People look at girls like, I love you, I love you. But if I want that and I don't get that, I'm at a lack of power.
True.
Do you get what I'm coming from? That's why you can't cheat on the spirit and let anything else come in place of the love that you have for the spirit. And as you would love your wife, like as you would love a friend. Like if I tell you I'm your friend, but then I'm over there and I'm like, yo, homeboy, he freaking, dude, he's so stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you may be stupid, but I'm going to tell it to your face. And that's the problem, bro.
Got
you know what I'm saying? Like, and so with this whole deal of what I'm talking about is it's like, we can say, I love you, you know, like God, it's the way he flows, it's the way he glows, it's the way he shows, it's the way he, you know, like, we can say all this stuff about the spirit, but if you're going to talk bad about people, if you're going to cheat on your wife, if you're going to speak bad about, like, I'm not naming my minister's names. Nobody knows where I went to church. Nobody even knows who I'm talking about. I'm just speaking my experiences. I'm not about to list those those names of the people who did me wrong. You get what I mean?
True, true.
Because I'm not trying to keep them in the bondage of the place that they may be or that they are. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
I'm speaking my story, but I'm protecting people, man.
See,
because
that's so important.
Unity,
love protects.
Unity is the goal, bro. And we can't have unity if we can't have a loyalty our commitment and a singleness, like a mark of where our affections derive from. Do you know where I come from?
So true. Is that why you have so much joy, bro?
Me?
Seriously.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because your connectedness to the Father, the heart of the Father.
What?
And that's where it's a fine line. You stay in that line, that you stay in that parameter.
Right, right. I mean, dude, like
Jesus is the way.
Right. Ooh. Like I have joy because I know that facts. This is a crazy thing, but like we're gonna die, bro.
100% Tomorrow ain't promised.
We're gonna
talk about this.
So I think the real decision that people have to make in life, I think the real decision that people have to make with their life is, am I gonna live for myself or am I gonna live for others, right? I believe that there's heaven after this, and I want to spend eternity with them.
This podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truths of the gospel in their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring today's podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministries helps Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. First 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through meaningful devotional thoughts, scripture, worship, and prayer. Sign up today and get the First 15 email devotional sent directly to your inbox. Go to first15.org. That's first15.org. You can also start your day off with the First 15 devotional podcast. You can sign up there in your favorite podcasting app. Now back to today's show.
There's not a lot of choices that really matter in life, honestly.
Yeah, so true.
There's really not, because we're all going to die. Factually, we're all going to die.
True.
But the truth is that most people think that this life that they have on this earth, right?
Yeah.
That like memory of them forever, or like that they're going to have invincibility for some reason. That like,
Once I hit this.
People just want to be invincible.
Wow.
You know, people want to be, but it's a God-given thing because we're supposed to be invincible.
Come on.
Do you understand?
But we have to be connected
like
to him to
heaven.
Receive that.
Invincibility can only come if we truly know that we're going to live forever.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
That's the only
bro.
Way that invincible, but like all the actor, the whatever, like the comic
Celebs.
Books, like the super, all the superhero stuff, all these things. It's invincibility. You get what I mean? And we want that power of being invincible. We want that power of, you know, we live as though we live when we make decisions today as if they're going to be remembered in eternity. You know what I'm saying? But
so
like
true.
90% of the decisions that people make today aren't producing any fruit that after we die is gonna even matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude, if you're alive, you have a story. Like if you have hands, you can do something. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, I'm passionate what I'm passionate about. So my goal in life is to
Please share.
My goal in life is cultural reformation of the arts, right? So I believe that participatory art is what this generation needs, right? And so I ride the line where I'm this crazy out there person. People are like, who's your influence? You know, and most people are talking about pastors that they listen
to. Got it.
I'm like, dude, Shia LaBeouf, I like him.
Okay.
I like Kanye, like A24 films, like all this stuff that people are like, why, you can't like that stuff. You can't like... And I say, man, but the strategies, the heart behind a lot of this thing, the creativity, like
God still gave them a gift, and the gift's irrevocable.
It's amazing what's happening in these sectors. And I'm relating more to that than I'm relating to what's coming out of a lot of these other streams that religion and religious people tell me I need to be dialed into, right?
Wow.
I'm just like, so I'm creating this artwork, and I've been creating artwork for the past 10 years that I haven't even shown to the world, you know? I may have like a few posts and like some stories and stuff. But for 10 years, man, I have a copywriter, and we have a 55,000 word manuscript on art in the 21st century in relation to the gospel. And so we're doing all this research in these areas that aren't being so much talked about. And I've also written my memoir of 75,000 words, and that's taken a lot of time. But the artwork, I've done over 4,000 works of art, and I've done, you know,
that's 4,000.
No, this is more than like Van Gogh when he died, and I think Picasso. I have to look them up and see the different artists, but so many artworks that I've done, right?
Yeah,
so much discipline, so much time, so much concentrated effort, right? And there's only one thing that wakes me up in the morning to do this, man. There's only one thing. Thing that I'm like, you know what? I can't wait to get up tomorrow because of this one reason.
Come on.
And the one reason is I see the little Zach Love in high school, right?
Yeah.
Who was looking for that artist, who was full of the Holy Spirit, creating artwork that was immersed in his spirit that knocked people back to where they said, holy. And I said, no, it's Holy Spirit.
Wow. You know, come on, brother.
They go, holy. And I'm like, no, Holy Spirit. Baby.
That's
Because that's what people are saying right now. When they come into the studio and see all these works of art.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's like an
EDM. Nice. So that's like an opportunity, an avenue for you to share the gospel. When they come and say, holy.
Yeah.
You go and say, brother. Holy Spirit. Let me talk to you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And it's like, because that's what they say, bro.
Wow.
And because it's modern. It's not like... It's not ministering the gospel in the way that it's been said art needs to be be Christian, right?
Got you.
It ministers the gospel. It's all these body parts in my paintings. It's all these body parts going all different ways off of 1 Corinthians 12:12, how we're all individual members of one body.
Yes.
So it's all these body parts going different ways. And it doesn't make sense sometimes how we all fit together. But if we change our perspective, look from a greater perspective, from farther back.
Wow.
We see all these body parts on this flat canvas, on an equal plane, and we realize that Christ looks down on us. He sees us as equal.
Yes.
He sees us as together in unity, as one masterpiece. His whole goal in life is for us to be one.
Yes.
There's so much division in the church, but it's not. People ask me, they go, where do you go to church? I said, did you ask your pastor where he goes to church? They said, no. I go, he is just as much going to church as I am. We are the church.
Wow.
It's not where we are the church.
We are the
and people.
Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right, man. And so, like, for me, like, unity comes from understanding the expression and the extension of Christ through all of those who are submitted to him. And I'm submitted to him, but people don't want to be looking at my creativity sometimes as the extension of him because it doesn't point to him in the way that they want it to point to him, and it makes them sometimes insecure because it's not directly the Jesus on the cross, you know? But my spirit,
brother.
But look, When you look at art, when you look at a tree sometimes,
come on,
right?
I'm gonna go out
God
there
created
right now.
It. Come on. God created it, but guess what? It ain't him hanging on the cross. He hung on a tree. But when you look at that forest right there, when we look out at this forest, at the mountains, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a modern way of the handprint of the Father, of what he created. Why you gotta tell me it's gotta look? He created me. Look at how I dress. Look at how I look. I'm an extension of him.
Woo.
He sees me as a masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. I'm fired up for creatives who love the Father in a unique expressional way to passionately pursue him and not let religion separate the love that they can commune with the Holy Spirit, right? And be empowered and to go out and make a difference, have momentum, dude, that comes from a yoking and a partnership, living from heaven to earth, understanding that their sole purpose is to tap into presence, to steward encounter, and to make the invisible God visible through the passion that they profess through their artwork, through their paintings, through their life.
Wow.
You know,
come
and it's
on,
not,
bro.
It doesn't just
it's
have
encouraging.
To be art, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, dude, we live in a time where we need unity more than ever.
Wow.
And that cannot come if we continue to, like, when I see some people walk in here, bro, they're real quiet sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Real quiet. They're not like me. Introverted,
calm,
whatever.
Sedate.
But when I see them, I don't look at them and be like, yo, that God values me more because I'm out here screaming in a mic, spitting in this thing.
No.
I say there's something unique that God is doing in that person that together, we're going to allow that love to manifest in a greater way.
The body.
And there's so much to this. There's so much more to this. I mean, I could go into a lot more things right now.
Yeah.
But we're in a limited time, and I'm going to respect you and the audience and everything.
This was so –
I'm just fired
so
up, dude.
Can I ask you this, bro?
What's up?
If someone's out there listening now, and you spoke into this a little bit, one, they have infinite value, like from the standpoint of – you know, the Picassos and all these Rembrandt, whoever it is.
That's cool. You said Rembrandt. I didn't even say Rembrandt.
Praise God. Awesome. So the value of their pictures that comes from people who profess something, who actually put their hand to work, you know, like regular men, but were very interesting, unique men. But remind them how God created them, and they're much more valuable than a $15 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was ministering in Louisville a couple weeks ago, and I don't do very many speaking engagements. You know
hey,
what I'm saying?
Youth pastors out there, y'all better bring them in. Or even the pastors, come on. Festivals.
I love it. Yeah, right. Well, I'm working towards something specific, and I gotta keep that
focus
up. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, and praise God for my family who's really supported this vision. And you know, no one supports you like a loving father, and I'm a loving father, and his support means the world.
Wow.
But when we talk about what you're saying about value and about love and about the power of a person even greater than the art. And man, I talked to somebody the other week and I was telling him about how Jeff Koons, he just did a bunny and it went for $91 million.
Wow.
And he's a living artist today selling for $91 million. So fine art is, I mean, it's impressive in the way that there's a lot going on here. I don't want to get off on another tangent.
God,
but I was talking to people about Jeff Koons and what his work that just sold for $91 million.
Mm.
And people were like, what? Like that bunny's worth $91 million? Like that's crazy.
Woo!
And somebody was like, yo, I'm just going to go make a turtle and sell it for $91 million. I'm like, for $91 million making a turtle. And I said, man, you guys just don't get it. Like how long it took him to get there and, you know, all the things have been poured into him, all the stuff. And so I'm kind of like showing what it takes to get to a position of something attaining its worth and value. And they're like, wow, like I didn't think about that, man, that's unbelievable that bunny's now worth $91
million.
And I'm like, and they're like, that's so much money. I said, well, guess what, man? I said, you look at this bunny and you say, wow, like, I can't believe it's worth that much money. And God looks at you, you know?
Mm.
And you're worth more.
Wow.
Like he says,
somebody needs that.
He says, you are my masterpiece. You're worth more than $91 million.
Wow.
You're worth more than this bunny. You're worth more. You know, so like I don't produce art to create money. I'm producing art to create a new movement, to create cultural reformation. And it's there's a lot that goes into speaking that. And I want to protect my message in regard to insecure, like, some secrecy of some things.
Okay, only because, good deal. Because you have only, so much more.
Right, because it's something that hasn't quite happened yet.
Yeah.
You know? And
still delicate.
And so I have to be careful about how I speak into a lot of these things.
Got it.
But I just want to get fired up and letting people know that they're an extension of him and that their longings, even in the earthly, worldly realm, have been specifically purposed in their hearts. And those longings have been put there for a specific way and for a specific reason. But if they can commit to opening up to the different kingdom.
Yes.
Right?
Wow.
To a spiritual realm with the Holy Spirit and manifesting that and stewarding that presence through their passion. I'm telling you, man, like it's going to I wanna see people OD on that.
Yeah. Come on. That's good.
You know what I mean?
That's good. Okay, Zach. One more question before we get to the last question.
Straight, bro.
You're getting tired.
No, I'm not tired.
We had some blueberries and some, what was it called again?
Amaranth.
It was so good.
Right.
He was training me up on some health stuff. I really appreciate you, bro. His six pack is booming.
Ah, you funny, bro. I'm just skinny, dude. I'm like, what, 130, 140 dripping wet?
Nah, you good, bro.
Yeah.
So this is my question real quick. What inspired the movement for you to travel the world with that mannequin?
Oh, fine.
Will you share a little bit about that? Because I believe this could be a big something someone's really interested in engaging in, following, and being a part of.
Well, the thing is, and it's a great intro, and it's a great like the way that you intro things. This was Soulja Boy's hype man. Did they know that?
Some of them know if they go back to their early episodes. But
they may not know you were Soulja Boy's hype
back
man.
Back in the day.
You don't want to tell.
Wow.
This dude right here, you talk about six pack back in the day, he had a six pack. This dude's story, does your book talk about your story?
Yeah, next year it comes out and it talks about
what is the name of that book?
Start Where You Are.
Start Where You Are.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, bro, your smile rocks me. You literally, when I came here, some of the biggest influencers, and you have a bigger smile than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Bro,
reflect
you, bro.
Okay, you
the
keep
spirit
saying
that.
That
is in you.
All I know is Soulja Boy,
tell him.
Hey.
Crank that Soulja.
We got him to dance up here. And all I know is like, bro, people don't realize what you also turned down. I mean, I turned down that signing of being one of the next biggest fashion photographers in the industry.
Oh, yeah. Remember? Share that.
You turned down being Soulja Boy's hype boy.
Like, golf Hollywood, to go on the limelight.
Right. So, like, I turned that down. You turned that down. We paralleled that, right? And with that, like, I broke and I had a huge heart for the industry. And so carrying this mannequin around was a direct relationship of my creative expression of what I was seeing in the industry.
Wow. Okay?
But the thing is I haven't released that yet, and I haven't made that live yet. So I don't want to talk about it all day.
Bro.
No, it's totally
Dang,
cool.
I didn't know that.
No,
you guys are getting some good stuff.
Now they're maybe just more curious.
Yeah.
But my book that's coming out called Where Is Love? Okay.
Yeah,
it goes along with the story, so it talks about it. But I just, you know, a lot of people in the industry and with creativity, they try to share all their ideas with people so fast that they can get stolen or that they just aren't wise.
Got it. You know? About it.
And so you have to have wisdom. And you cannot lack discernment. You have to have discernment.
Wow.
And
so
I just like want to have wisdom, want to have discernment, and just want to tell people that. You know, I think the message in you even bring that up is just so that people know that what they're pursuing, it's not about being there today.
Mm.
It's about how you're co-creating with the Creator, with God Himself, with the Holy Spirit, with the presence.
It's good.
Right? It's how you're co-creating and understanding what you're making with Him.
Mm.
It's got to be that divine, woven intricacy that His breath breathes onto what your hands produce. And as you manifest that in intimacy, into me, you see. You know what I mean? It's like when you get into that.
Boy. When you gotta preach.
I'm just speaking, bro. It's just like, hey. Oh, that's funny. Camel soup. That's Andy Warhol. His mom always gave him camel soup, and that's why I did the camel soup cans. Anyway,
nice.
That's pop art. That's my just mind going back to that stuff. But all I'm saying is it's very important for people to create in intimacy with be a co-create. People want to do all these music labels, and they want to all these soundtracks. You know, they want to release an EP. You know, and they may want Soulja Boy on there. They may want whoever. You know, like. Whatever, J. Cole. So everybody wants to be working with Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People want to be with on these tracks with these guys, right? Why? Because of the power. Mm. Well, guess what? You can co-create with God.
The God of the universe, the creator of all creators.
You can. You can sign featuring Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
I mean, it's not
but
like you get what I mean in the way, you know? And so people are like, I don't know if I got what it takes. I'm like, dude, you don't got what it takes.
Mm.
I don't got what it takes, bro.
We don't got what it takes.
We don't got what it takes. But if you get alone and you cry out to God with your passion and you keep manifesting that, I can promise on my life there will be something woven into that through the Spirit that gives you an understanding of what you're passionate about in such a way that you are set apart and it is sought after.
So good. So good.
It is sought after.
Come on, bro. That's a word.
Woo!
As you can see, we've been having a phenomenal time out here, and I'm so grateful for Zach. To close out, you know how we close out with that powerful question. Come on now.
Hey.
The scripture part. Like, what is the scripture you wrap your life around, bro?
Right.
Prozac.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Prozac, like Prozac.
Prozac.
keep it on the Lozac.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1 John 4:7. I looked it up just so you know. I mean, I knew it, but like I didn't know exactly the verse. But it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God."
Mm.
And then verse 8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love."
Mm. In order for us to know love in a world that thinks we know love, we must know God first in order to become and know love.
Yeah, read. I'll challenge everybody. Read that.
Yeah.
4, 7, 8, and then read 9.
Wow.
And then read 10. And then read 11.
It's the very definition of love.
And then read 12. Yeah.
All of them?
But seriously, like, people really need to read that, man. And the thing is, and I just want to encourage people, man, all you creatives out there, all you like Soulja Boy hype boys,
hey, let's get it.
Whoever you are, man, it don't matter. I love you. Even when you hate me, I'm still going to love you because I'm trying to see from the lens that the Father sees me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the lens that you judge me. Not the lens that, you know, so
yeah.
I'm just trying to be real and transparent with my life.
Come on, bro.
And so my encouragement, just like for everybody out there that's struggling, for all you people who got problems with the church, for all y'all who don't want to get up in there, and for some of you guys who just, you know, like, I don't know, man, you feeling like you got a passion, like you trapped up in the 9-to-5, you know, you got bills, your parents even use your credit card growing up and they ran it up. So you got no credit you're trying to spend the next 10 years just getting that back. I mean, for real, this stuff's real deal.
It's real stuff.
I'm just letting you know, I hear you and I love you. God loves you.
Mm.
I apologize on behalf of all the things that weren't meant to ever be on you.
Mm.
I hope that you can forgive those who have put you in some place of debt.
Mm.
And the person who knows and who has taken it the worst but still loved is who the Bible talks about as Jesus. And so if you learn more about that, I think that you could be encouraged in the midst of these things. But I want you to know, man, I'm working my hardest. I'm resting my hardest
producing
in this vision. And I'm praying that hopefully whoever you are, man, that you'll feel the impact and that we'll be on that wave together someday, whatever that wave is, you know?
That's it.
And man, my hope is just to be able to help and to relate to and to open up the door for those who have that passion for him, that creativity for him, that, you know, to have a way to access the ability to make that more part of their life, mm. you know? And I'm just so blessed that I've been able to have that, man. I don't even deserve it. That's why it's grace. But I don't take grace and punish myself. I don't give myself bruises because of grace.
Yeah.
I love myself more because of the grace that's been given for me. And I love others more because of the grace that's been given to me.
Wow.
And so it's just like,
that's so good, bro.
I'm not going to be held hostage by the opinion of others.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to encourage whoever's listening to this, man, like, you know, I'm definitely not God, because without him, I'd be stupid. You know, I have been, and I was in a lot of ways. My creativity was flowing, and people would always thought that I was smart.
Yeah.
But just because you Gucci man don't mean you're the smartest man. You know what I mean? Like, on the real.
That rhymed, though.
On the real, just because I said, man.
Gucci man.
But, yeah. No, but it's like, but seriously, man, it's very important for people to see the value of how Christ sees them, of how the Lord sees them, of how God sees them, of how the Spirit sees them. And man, just forgive. You don't have to forget, but forgive. Learn from it and find somebody who loves God and just be like, yo, dude, like, I don't know much about this God stuff, and I doubt that you got it all right, but I'm trying to learn a little bit more about how I can be passionate about him.
Praise
because
God.
You dripping something.
Praise God.
And I'm trying to weep. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
So it's just like, you know.
I praise God for you, Zach. Thank you so much. Now, let them know where they can find you on social media and follow your journey, but also connect with you if there's anything. Maybe you come across a young man that want to learn from you a little bit.
And the problem with me is, and I haven't been doing podcasts and I haven't really shared vision a lot, because so a lot of times people want to reach out to people that they hear, that they learn from. And it can be more toxic than the lesson that they felt empowered by through this message, because their identity gets wrapped around my response or how I get back to them. So it's like, you can say something positive. Like, I can say all this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knew me before this moment. Like, anyone hearing this that didn't know me, who now knows me, sometimes feels like I owe them something.
Right?
Do you get wrong?
Yeah.
And like, I'm one person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I got a girl I'm trying to know. I got a vision I'm trying to cultivate. I got someone going after me. I post some stories. I don't post a lot of actual posts. And it's because I've tried to limit my interaction with things outside of God's spirit and his plans and purposes, because, man, that's just like, we don't have enough time to help everybody.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
That's so good.
We just don't. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
So true.
And I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah.
So the thing that I want to tell people again is, like, I'm doing all that I can to write books, right?
Got it.
Because, like, if you want to hear more, like, I'm writing books.
Yeah.
I'm writing a freaking book. I spent months and years, like, developing books.
They can have all of you.
Like,
in
so
there.
It's like, here, dude, I'm doing this to try to let you see, man, like, I don't want you to think that I think that I'm better than you at all.
Yeah,
like, I want you to show you that I'm like, I'm trying to put it out there. But like, we have to have people who also stay so focused and stay in a secret place that they don't get exhausted by, you know, trying to feel like they got to be there for everybody all the time. You know, I mean,
so true.
I had a ministry of hundreds of kids.
Thank you for your rawness on
I had a ministry of like hundreds of kids coming out. I get 200 texts and I loved it, you know, but they'd be like, you know, I called a guy one time who had a shotgun in his mouth about to blow his brains out, and I invited him out, and the Holy Spirit moved, and he got saved, and right on, dude, whatever. That wasn't me. That was Holy Spirit. I don't even want some praise for that. But the thing is like, that just shows how when you listen, powerful things can happen that save life. But the thing is a lot of people want to depend on you more than they want to trust the Spirit, you know? And I'm not about to try to be the people.
Superman. I'm not trying to hero.
I'm not trying to be the person people depend
Got
on.
It.
I'm not trying to be the person that people look up to. I'm trying to be the person that presents the message as I'm learning it, trying to present the creativity that he's teaching me about. I'm trying to do all this stuff and let
That's
people
so
learn
good.
In that way. So like, if you reach out to me, I'm probably not going to talk back. Like, I mean, I would love to, but I'm just not in a season right now. I mean, who knows if this plays in a couple weeks.
Zach is so real. He's keeping it 100 with y'all.
I have. Well, because Because I don't want people to be mad at me, man. Like, sure. I mean,
but they can still
it's okay
the
if they are. That's fine. But it's like, I just don't want to hurt people's heart.
Yeah.
And people thinking I'm available when I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't set up meetings that I can't keep.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't set up
appointments. That reminds me of Bob Goff, because he doesn't even set up appointments.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, dude, you know? It's just so... I think that that's just a message that some people maybe that maybe pastors need to hear, whatever. But it's like, man, you know, if you got a church that's dependent on you, then something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
You know what
so
I mean?
So true.
And so
one day, because he's just a man, and one day he's gonna fade.
Right.
And then
that's where when I do my worships on some Wednesday nights, I'd show up and I'd be like, "Yo, guys, I'm not talking tonight." And like, "What's up?" You know, I just be like, "I'm dude." Hey, come up here, share your story. And I just call other people. You know what I mean? Because it's like, but I would never even plan for what was going to happen because if I had to plan, if I'd have an agenda for what I was speaking, I wasn't going to be pregnant to the moment.
To the true moment.
You know what I mean?
The
and the way that the world is winning is they're permeating moments.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fully in moments.
Yeah.
And the way that we're missing it is like we have an agenda for a moment. And then when that moment doesn't go the way we want it to, you know what I mean?
Down on
we get mad at, or we get mad at people. And it's like, dude, when you have the spirit and you're sensitive to the moment, you're not getting mad at people because you realize that you're not the one in the lead anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So
and,
true.
And so it's just, dude, so I don't know. I mean,
woo!
Like, I'm not trying. I don't got it figured out, bro. And I do not, like, whatever I think I know right now in 3 years, I always realize, like, dude, you didn't know.
Wow.
Like, you know, it's like.
The more you know, the less
you
know.
But, bro, you didn't know.
That's so
true. Like, whatever you take right now and you now know, realize you're going to know a lot more.
More.
If you're going to the source
and
you'll
you
be able to
need to know more.
Yeah. And you'll be able to probably teach me a lot. Honestly, honestly teach me a lot.
So good.
And so,
man.
I mean, I'm not, man, a lot of people are going to hear this and they're going to have conversation and be like, yo, he was off on that or he shouldn't have said that or whatever. And thank you for following your convictions.
Yeah.
Thank you for being passionate about upholding the conviction that you have. And I'm in this with you. Whoever you are, against me or with me, man, like, I'm thankful that you're passionate about what you're convicted of.
Wow.
Thank you for doing that.
Cool.
Keep that up. And the world is better because you live by your convictions and you allow the spirit to flow through you. So
that's it.
Just mad love for that.
Amen.
But oh yeah,
if you
want to look me up, it's _ZachLove, ZachLove.
On Instagram,
I forgot to say that,
right?
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, I mean, Instagram. _ZachLove.
We'll have a link in the show notes as well.
That's cool.
So you get direct access to them. And bro, Zach, thank you so much for pouring out your heart, your life to us.
Yeah.
And I've been getting it all week in person. So it's been just a blessing. And I know I'm going to go back and listen to this a few times.
Oh, that's cool.
To get crunk and get my creative juice spinning.
That's cool.
And just learn from you more, bro. So I really
It'd be cool if we
you.
Could like throw some like Soulja Boy beats in with it. No, but honestly, dude, like I just, you know, I wish that I could share my story in full. You know, but I just want to focus
have another
on.
One.
I just want to focus on this.
When I go to Indianapolis, we'll do another.
That's cool, bro.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, share this with a friend who may be in the creative space, may be looking to get deeper into their calling and purpose to become more creative with the gifts that God's given to them. Lastly, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And I will tell you. You need to go follow Zach Love. Seriously, this guy's phenomenal. He's been such a blessing to all of us here, deep and full of joy of the Holy Spirit. So love you guys and have a blessed one. In Jesus' name, let's go.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.